It was about a week and a half ago, or two. It was brought up that this burden concerning having a children's gospel meeting, and I guess it was decided May 31st. Mm-hmm. May 31st would be a good day,
right,
to have that. And there was some fellowship with the other districts about what to do, whether they wanted to follow suit and have this on the same day. And we certainly have the burden in both Manhattan and Brooklyn for this. But I'd like to, in the course of the fellowship, tell you the progression of that fellowship and how we've decided to have actually a series of children's gospel meetings. Mm-hmm. So we will have the first one will be here on May 31st. Mm-hmm. The second one will be in Manhattan on June 7th. And then the third one will be in Brooklyn on June 13th. Mm-hmm. So on 14th, I'm sorry, 14th. On three consecutive Lord's Days, three consecutive Lord's Days. So we need to be praying for this. We need to be praying for this. We're going to be touching children all over the city, all over the city. So in light of this, in view of this, I asked the sisters if it would be okay if we could have some fellowship together to talk about the burden. Well, what is the burden behind having these types of gatherings? But I'd like to start this way. I'd like to talk to you about the great potential of the children's work.
Amen.
The great potential of the children's work. The children's meeting, the children's work, mm-hmm, the labor with the children, the care of the children, has a great potential, a great potential. And I would say at least on these two fronts, or in these two areas. The first is that we've heard for a long time that the children or the young people are the future of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of course, this is logical. Mm-hmm. The children and young people are the future of society. So every proper nation takes care of their children. Every proper nation. If you check in worldwide, for a country to be strong, they must take care of the children. They must take care of the children's education and health. Have to take care of the children's education and health. And you look around the world, the places that don't have that, that don't have that, are the countries that are not that strong. The countries that are strong take care of the children's education and their health, their well-being, the well-being of the children. Well, concerning the church, of course, the children are the future. But what does that mean, or what does that translate into in our service week to week? When you're with the children, of course, I don't know what class is in second grade. When you're in second grade, you have second graders. Second graders are about 7 years old. Right, 7 years old. I like second graders because I got saved when I was 7 years old. Yeah, when I was 7 years old. So there's a soft spot in my heart whenever I hear that a child, how old are you? Seven. I say, oh, seven. That's a precious age for me. So when you are with the children here in the classroom, it's easy to lose sight of that these are the future of the church. When you see them, maybe sometimes they're actually under the table. You have to pull them out from under the table and tell them this and tell them that and so on. It's easy to lose sight. But I'd like for us all to, I'm going to borrow this phrase from John 4:35. I'm going to use this in two ways. John 4:35 is this verse. It says, "Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes? Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Mm. So in this fellowship, I really would like to, for now, borrow these few words. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. I'd like you to see beyond your class, beyond your children that you have in your class this school year, to see beyond them and to see for the future. The children are a great potential. And what we are doing is actually shaping them, forming them to be the best human vessels. The best human vessels. We just passed through Romans chapter 9 and 10, right? And Romans 9, it talks about the Lord is the potter. He's the potter that has shaped the vessels. We're the clay. We're the clay. And the thing about the children is that even though they are already vessels, they're not set fully yet. They're not set. They're not hardened yet. You know, there's always a process when you make the clay vessels. There's the shaping. Right, there's the shaping, and then there's a period of time, right, that they are hardened. Actually, it's under heat, right? Yeah, under heat, right? And they are set, and that's the vessel they're going to be. Well, the children are not set yet, so there's still time for the potter, through us, and especially through parents, to still mold them and work on them. And what we hope, okay, our burden for all the children, I think is very clear, eventually is their salvation. We want them all to meet the Lord in the most genuine and even dynamic way. That the Lord would be so real to them in salvation. That one day every single one of them would call out to the Lord in genuineness and say, "Lord, save me. Be my Savior. Be my Savior. And come and be my life." Yeah, we want this experience. And year after year we see this. year after year. We're encouraged by this. But not only so, it does mention in 2 4, that God's desire is that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth, right? There's a progression. There's something beyond the salvation. The initial salvation is an initiation into something. There needs to be something more. Well, we, of course, want them to come to the full knowledge of the truth, but we also want them to become the seeds of the gospel. To become the seeds of the gospel. That when they go to their middle school in sixth or seventh grade, many of them are usually saved during the sixth grade, mm-hmm. right? So they're already there. But once they're saved in that middle school, they would be all right away a seed of the gospel. A seed of the gospel. And when they go to high school, they would be a seed of the gospel. When they go to their university, they would be a seed of the gospel. But when we evaluate our situation, when we look at our history, and not only here, but in all the local churches, especially across North America, we have to say that we have not reached this yet. Yes, some of our children, when they're saved, I would say many of them are joyful. Many of them have a genuine experience, right. At their salvation and in their baptism, right? And a number of them, but not all, a number of them tell their friends. And a number of them, when we have the young people's gospel meetings, they are so happy to invite their friends. And we have a number that in their seventh grade, in their eighth grade, they brought friends. Some even up to 5 friends, I know, of this kind of situation. And some later on in high school too. Yeah. But I would say they are this kind is few and far between. And sometimes as they get older, it's less and less. Less and less. They have less and less burden or awareness of the others and that desire to invite. So I would say we haven't reached the mark yet. We haven't come close to reaching the mark yet. We have not produced the seeds of the gospel. Yeah. We've gotten our own children saved. Actually, the track record there is excellent. Excellent. I don't know if it's 100%, but it's very close to 100% that we've gotten them saved. And that's not a small thing. That's not a small thing. We should worship the Lord. Amen. For that. That is a combination of coordination between the serving saints, the teachers, and the parents, right? Just about 100% saved. That's a wonderful thing. Yeah. But what we want is 100% seeds of the gospel. Yeah. And this is not the characteristic of our young people's work. It's not the impression you get when you touch our young people. But how can we get there? How can we get there? We don't get there by working on the young people. We get there through the children's meeting. And especially these two ways. The children's gospel meetings and the neighborhood children's meetings. The neighborhood children's meetings. I think was it in September that we came and we fellowshipped a little bit, yeah. along some of these burdens. Things have progressed in both here locally and in other localities concerning the neighborhood children's meetings. Mm-hmm. I want to give you a few testimonies. And I think everybody's clear what we mean by the neighborhood children's meetings, right? That some some saints would have the burden. It's usually a mother with her children comes together with some other saints, whether they are also mothers or supporting sisters. Sometimes brothers are involved, but not all the time. Actually, less than half the time, I think, the brothers are involved. But in some cases, mom and dad carry it out together. I'm going to give you a few testimonies like that. And they have something that is not the children's meeting of the church. That is, they have something in their homes, during the week. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, just about now, we have one that is starting. I think they start around 10:30 in Brooklyn every Saturday morning. On Saturday mornings, you know Sister Pythia, William and Pythia Kwong. Sister Pythia, together with a young couple, most of you may not know Neil and Lee Chung, but they are together. They have been praying for a number of months, or were praying for a number of months, and then in January they began. This neighborhood children's meeting. Actually, the first day was, I think, January 31st, which was when we had this special fellowship on the children. You remember that? And we shared concerning the burden of service, of putting into the children the matter of service, not to be self-centered, even to consider other places. We talked a lot about the Ukraine that day. We're going to talk about the Ukraine again today. And so that morning was their first meeting, that morning. So from January 31st. So now it's February, March, and we're at, almost 3 months. You know, they have five new ones, five children that they're meeting with, five children. The meeting began with Stephen and Joshua, that's the Kwong children, and two friends. They invited two friends, if I'm not mistaken. And now they have about five friends coming, five. And I don't know if there are any siblings among the five. Mm-hmm. It might be five families. We're touching five families. Maybe it's four families. I don't want to exaggerate. Yeah. So four or five families we're touching. So the saints there have this burden that they want to now, at the end of May, have a picnic. So they'll have on a Saturday morning, instead of meeting in the Kwong's home, they will meet in a nearby park and invite the parents. This is very normal. Very normal on a Saturday. Just have a nice time over lunch, have a picnic, right? And the children will do a very short presentation. Which, what could that be? Mm-hmm. A couple of songs. Maybe they'll say something of a lesson they learned. Maybe not. But something, just so that the parents can see a little fruit of what their children are involved with. And then, if I'm not mistaken, we'll have the lesson, that day's lesson, will be given right there at the picnic. So the parents can all see and hear what kind of things we talk about. And then maybe we'll say a little something about what is the burden behind these neighborhood meetings and how actually we have meetings like this in places in all over the country and also in Puerto Rico and in South America and in Australia and in London, and just to give them a view that you know what we're doing. So anyway, it's not a small thing that we would be in contact with four or five families. Now, that won't be a gospel meeting, but do you see that it's paving the way for the gospel? Yeah, that out of that, we don't know what kind of questions we're going to have over that lunchtime. It's very possible that they will ask, something about what church? It's very kind of expected.
Normal, yeah.
What church do you all go to, or what kind of Christian, or what Bible, or something like this? There'll be some kind of, and we'll just see where that leads. The children are a great potential. Great potential. Okay, so there are meetings like this going on in so many places. Actually, Maria is involved. The children there are younger.
Huh? Yeah, we have more children who are not yet in school, but now they're growing.
So yeah, yeah.
Some of them are in school.
Yeah.
So we haven't figured out what to do yet to change the time. And
right.
Saturday morning thing sounds very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Friday afternoon, like yeah. Puerto Rico would do.
Yeah, because because all the children were preschool, mm-hmm. then they could do something during the day, mm-hmm. even in the morning during the week. Mm-hmm. It's easy for the mothers to come together. Actually, mothers arrange play dates, you know, play for children to come together, and this is kind of a sanctified play date, mm-hmm. right? That and actually, one fear or hesitation that many mothers have is that in their concept, when we say neighborhood children's meeting, they think, oh, Lord's Day children's meeting, reproduced in my home, and they think, oh, 2 hours. And I have to take care of everything. And they think, oh, that's too much. I can't. What would I do? And actually, sometimes the neighborhood children's meeting is, the meeting part, 15 minutes. Is that right? 15 minutes or shorter, depending on the age and the attention of the children. Of course, when they get into elementary school age, you can do something more. And I know a number of these are about an hour, but not more than that. If it's more than that, then there is recreation or free time or craft built in. But a couple of other experiences. In one place, this is actually in Sydney, Australia. They have now four meetings like this. There were two sisters who, both of whom have a situation that their husbands are actually not meeting right now, not meeting with the church. And they live outside of the city, a little isolated. So they were somewhat discouraged, actually, about their situation. And I've known them for some time now, because I've been going to Australia for the past 15 years, annually, once or twice a year. So I know them. And they were of the attitude, woe is me. Woe is me. Look at me and my situation. How can I go on? And so on. So anyway, one sister has 3 children. The other sister has 4 children. Okay. Of course, they not at the beginning. At the beginning, I think it was still 2 and 3. They've had more children since. And they responded to this burden of the neighborhood children's meeting. So they began, and every week, and praying together, and they started. Well, now they're working with about 15 or 16
wow.
children every week. And because, just as Maria said, the children get older. They started 3 years ago. The children are now, the oldest are in 7th grade. When they started, the oldest was in 4th grade. Yeah. So now the children are in 7th grade. Each of them has a 7th grader. And they have friends who these have brought. Their own children are now saved and baptized. And a couple of the other 7th graders are also saved. They got saved in the neighborhood children's meeting. They got saved. So it's gotten a little too big for their living room. So, of course, remember, they live outside of, this is a real suburb. But we don't mean suburb like New Hyde Park. Okay, I mean suburb like, you know, farmland in Suffolk County suburb.
We call that the country.
Yeah, we call it the country. So, all the children go to the same school. They walk to the school. Okay. Next to the school, there is a government administration building. One of the children in the neighborhood children's meeting, his father works there. So the mom had this idea the mom suggested, why don't you rent a room in that administration building? So anyway, they were led, they had fellowship with me, fellowship with the leading ones, whether they should take this step, and everyone felt good. So now they started this. It's been a little over a month. Actually, they got the first month free. And so this building is right next door to the school. So the children come out of school, I think it's Wednesday. They go right to that place. I'm expecting that by the end of the year, these sisters could have 25 to 30 children. Just because it's there. And the children are great potential. A great potential in being shaped as the proper vessels, and a great potential of the gospel. Now, it's not that we gather the children and just preach the gospel to them. Not like that. Not so fast. We're just gathering the children. Actually, in these meetings, the stress is really building up the proper humanity. We use simple lessons. And the emphasis is always something of building up the proper humanity. And this actually draws the other parents. The other parents feel very good about that their children are getting some practical help here. We had a situation in New Zealand, where some children started to come to the neighborhood children's meeting, and then the mother later thought about it more and realized that they're Catholic, and she felt, no, this is not, I don't want my children to go. So she pulled them out. And she called them, the saints, and told them, I don't want my children going. But what happened was that the father sent them back. The father brought them back. Yeah. I think the mother was working in the father's home. The father sent them back. Okay. Then the mother found out, was very upset. So she called again and says, I don't want my children to go. Okay. So then what happened was, a couple of weeks later, the father brought the children again. So of course they received them. And so I don't know if it was later that day or it was the next day, the mother called again. Oh, so the saints are expecting. Oh no, we're in trouble again. And it's, of course, it's not their fault, because they didn't bring them. Yeah, but yeah. So the mother called and said, I just want you to know that I want my children to be with you. She changed. Because she told them, when my children are with you, they're happy and they behave better at home. When they come home, they're happy and they behave better. So I want my children to be with you. Yeah. You see, the building up of the proper humanity, there's a great potential with our children. And this is with a view to the gospel. You consider, if we're putting into our children the thought of compassion or being proper friends. I mean, this is a common application, right? Suppose someone transfers to your child's school. You know, the mid-year transfer. That's devastating to children. Yeah. Or even someone moves during the summer, right? Like what you're going to do. You're going to put your children in a new school, right? And then the children's first day of class, of school, right? Especially at either the lunchtime or the recreation, the free time or the, you know, any free time. Oh, then the children go looking for a place to sit, and they go to a table. Oh, is anyone sitting here? There was a yes. People say yes, yes, yes. Because they're saving it for their friends. Oh, so they go to another. Where do they sit? Where do they sit? Now, imagine if our children, one of our children, says, "Come, come. You can sit here." Or tells their friends, "Hey, let's get that. Let's get him. Let's invite him to come." Our children, to do that. Don't you think that day, when that child goes home,
right,
and that nervous, worried mother, right, or anxious, say, "Oh, if that child would come out with a smile that day," says, "How was your day?" And don't you think one of the first things this child would say, "Mommy, I made a friend. Mommy, I made a friend." Now, don't you think, if our child would invite that new friend to a neighborhood children's meeting the following week, or to a children's gospel meeting, like we're having next month, I would venture to say that they probably would come. They probably would come. See, these things are tied together. The matter of building up the proper humanity, shaping the vessel, giving them a heart for others. Putting in them a heart for others. For their classmates, for their neighbors, for their younger siblings, for their relatives. Putting something within them that they care for people. Such a little boy or girl, once they receive the Lord, right, and maybe in the sixth grade, they're baptized. This one could really become a seed of the gospel. Because throughout their elementary years, they've just been this way. They've just been caring for people, looking out for people, inviting people. And shame that sometimes comes with the matter of the gospel, we could be working to take that away. By the time they get saved, there's boldness in the gospel. So, do you see what you're doing in the children's meeting is actually, wasn't it put this way in that January 17th meeting? You're the first line shepherds. This is the first line, right? The first line shepherds. You're the first ones there working on them. Actually, you are doing the young people's work of next year or 5 years from now. You're actually young people serving ones, not children serving ones. You're building tomorrow's young people. Tomorrow's young people. And eventually, we want them to grow up to be the normal functioning members in the body. Right? Actually, that's what you're doing now. That's what you're doing. I really want to encourage you to lift up your eyes to see what a wonderful service that and potential there is here. So, and I know, week to week, I know when we finish and leave, then right away you get into lesson mode. Oh, what's the lesson? Make sure. And who's going to say what? And then tomorrow. And then who's doing the songs? And who's the? The craft. Oh, we forgot the craft. Oh, and let's. And then snack. Do you do snack? I don't know if you do. And snack. And so. Oh, who's going to play piano? We didn't get. And all these things. Okay, I'd like you to lift up your eyes from all of these things. To don't forget what we're really doing here. What we're really doing. The children are great potential. Great potential. Okay. another situation in New Zealand. Last year, this is something related to the full-time training in Hamilton. Okay, full-time training in Hamilton. And that's in New Zealand. The training's been going on there for quite a while, maybe close to 15 or 20 years. And they always exercise, all the training centers. We want to train them in truth, in life, in character, and in service. That's the purpose of all the full-time trainings. Training in truth, in life, in character, and in service. And one of the services is the gospel. Yeah. So we like to encourage them all to train them in the preaching of the gospel. Okay. However, just being there 2 years does not guarantee that someone is going to be produced as a seed of the gospel. And this is it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. And so they had in Hamilton this experience that when they reevaluated their situation, they realized when their trainees finished the training, hardly any of them had the normal practice of preaching the gospel. They were not preaching the gospel. And so in their experience in the training, Tuesday is the gospel day. Tuesday afternoon they go out to preach the gospel. And sometimes, this is what the overseer of the training told us. I heard this personally. He said, sometimes they would wake up on Tuesday, they realize, it's Tuesday. We got to go preach the gospel today. They would be like this. Yeah. So they were considering how to encourage them. Do you know how they turned the situation? Through the children. So what they decided, just about this weekend last year, we had a conference related to all these matters in Sydney, Australia. And we had some saints there from, actually the overseer of the training was there in Sydney. And we talked about all these matters in the neighborhood children's meetings and so on. Anyway, they decided what they're going to do is try something different and send their trainees to establish neighborhood children's meetings. Okay, so this is not children's meetings of the church. This is to knock on a door you don't know. And they would say something like this. Hello, we are representatives from the training center, Hamilton Training Center. It's a Bible Truth and Life Service, you know, training. And we are in the neighborhood with the burden to establish neighborhood meetings with children in the afternoons. And we teach them stories of the Bible with the purpose of building up their humanity. We will read the Bible with them, sing some songs, and like this. Oh, this is what they told us. Not one cold rejection.
Wow.
Yeah. Even the rejections were very pleasant. People would say something like this. Some would say, wow, that is splendid, that thought. That is just splendid. But you're 20 years too late. 20 years too late. My children are all grown up and so on. But God bless you. Like this. God bless you. So they would depart blessed. Blessed. So rejected with a blessing. So they were happy. But the result of this was that by December 2014, by the end of the training, they every week were in 52 homes.
Wow, my goodness.
52 homes. People just cold doors, 52 homes. And in these 52 homes, they were working every week with 175 children. 175 children. Yeah. Now, these are not the children of the church with their friends. The saints also have, in their neighborhoods, the neighborhood children's meetings, a few. But these are all established by the 50-plus trainees. Yeah. And so... from January until the first week in April. No, last week in March. Last week in March. 3 months. An additional 25 homes were opened up. So they have gotten into 77 homes offering the neighborhood children's meeting. There's a great potential, brothers and sisters, a great potential with the children. People want to take care of their children, and if you offer to give something good to their children, people will be open. People will be open to us. So there's a great potential with the children's meeting. And so they said, this brother, some of you know him, Brother Ray McNee. He's the overseer of the training there. He's one of the co-worker brothers. And he told us that in Hamilton, which is where the training is, over the years, as much as they're burdened, hardly would they have the increase. In 1 year, to have one family come into the church life is a big thing. And so they're so burdened about this, to have a breakthrough. Well, last year, four families, all from the children's. Because first touching the children, eventually four new families saved, baptized, and they are the typical New Zealanders, Kiwis. They call them the Kiwis. Yeah, they are Kiwis, all of them. And my brother said that actually several of them are like with tattoos, earrings, like heathen. But there, he told the story of this one brother. He came to the meeting with shorts and flip-flops, you know, the flip-flops. And then he's got, you know, piercing, and he's got tattoos. And he just got saved. He just got baptized. Yeah, yeah. And so, actually, this particular one, he has, I think it's three children. And they have a weekly meeting in his home. And he travels a lot for his work. And he was in Southern California. And so one night, they're doing through the computer, whether Skype or FaceTime or something, with the children. And with the family. And the children says, Daddy, we miss you. When you come home, we want you to come to church with us. We want you to come to church with us. And they sang a song to him. Well, this just touched this man's heart. Yeah, because of course he's missing his children. Of course he would say, oh, yes. Anyway, he came back and he came. So he made contact with the brothers, and the brothers offered to visit him the following week. Brother Ray himself. So they went, and in the first contact in their home, he opened up and received the Lord. Yeah, and got baptized. The second week, he came to the meeting, saved. Yeah, and so the brothers asked him, "Did you know it's good to witness, to tell people? Yeah, have you told anyone?" And his response was, "I told everybody." Especially the guys at my job. And so he told Brother Ray, there's especially one guy, Ray, I think we can get him. Yeah. That's from the children. Do you see the great potential? Oh, saints. What we have, this series of gospel meetings, we don't know what could come of this. That we need to have a good combination of the neighborhood meetings and the children's gospel meeting. I hope through the children's gospel meetings, we can work on the children to just be this kind of person, to just invite. We have a month. Don't think that's a long time. I hope we can work on them week by week. We need to prepare some, of course you would do this and talk about this, some nice invitations. And you know, for this, the parents must become involved. Because if my son invites a friend from school, surely those parents will want to call me to find out, what is this? Oh, so this will engage the parents. I would say even it pushes the parents to have contact in this way. And the parents will have to answer questions. Well, what church? What faith? And what is this? So we have to prepare the parents for this. We have to prepare the parents. But there is a great potential. Yeah. Now, when the children come and we have the so-called gospel meeting, I hope you realize this is not a typical church gospel meeting, where the goal in this meeting is to get those people to pray today, saved, baptized. That's our goal. Now, do we get 100% every time? Not every time. Many times we get 100%, but not every time. Okay. But our thought is, even we may never see these people again. We have this opportunity. Okay. At the very least, we're sowing seeds. We're sowing seeds. But we preach the gospel with the view to draw the net.
Amen.
Right, to draw the net in that instance, in that hour, we're going to draw the net somehow. Okay. Then we have what we practice here in the last several times, is that when the corporate meeting is finished, we don't dismiss, we shift to groups. And in the group time, if there are any that didn't pray yet, we want to speak to them. That group time, the gospel conversation in that group time, is actually the most important part of that meeting. Okay, because we want them to pray. Even the ones that stood to pray, we want them to pray again and touch their spirit. Okay, for the children, it's different.
Right.
It's different. Actually, the goal is that they enjoy it. And want to come back. And want to come back. So we don't necessarily present a kind of full picture of the gospel. We're telling a story about the Lord Jesus. We're introducing the Lord Jesus to these children. Yeah. And we're also sowing the seeds. Now, children will be of different ages, and it's very possible there'll be some older children that might be ready for the gospel. Mm-hmm. But we don't tailor that corporate meeting to them. That you can do when you break into your classes. So it's not a matter of we're going to tell the children, you have to believe, or you will go to the lake of fire. Oh, you want to pray? They may go, and then they pray, and you think you got it, but they'll never come back. So that's not, you didn't get reach your goal. We want them to enjoy and to come back. And some of them will come back with their mommy and daddy. Some of them. But even if not, don't be discouraged. Long-term goals. With the children's work, the so-called children's gospel work, actually, you may not see any the fruit for a year, 3 years, 5 years. Mm-hmm. Then you will see the fruit. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if in that time in September when I was with you, did I mention my testimony about the neighborhood children's meeting?
I've heard it before, so I don't know where it was then.
In that time, yeah. So, but just the point is, my whole family came to Christ because of, you could say, children's gospel meeting or a neighborhood children's meeting. On Saturday afternoons on the Lower East Side, two women in their 30s, two sisters, two dear sisters that just had a burden for the children, just loved the children in the neighborhood. Children in the neighborhood. This, again, was not children from the church, which at that time was the Brethren Assembly. This was children in the neighborhood. And through that, my sister was just drawn, really captured. And then my mother, and then eventually they both got saved at the end of the year, later on that year. My sister was saved very young. My mother got saved with these sisters. And eventually, our whole family got saved. I was not born yet. I was not even born yet. But from the time of that initial contact, that first knock on the door that Saturday afternoon, 35 years later, my father was saved. And today, we have actually five generations. The youngest, my father will be 96 in a couple of months. Okay. He has seen his fifth generation. Right. He's seen. So there are three babies, right? Born to my they might be grand nephews and nieces. Yeah. And so they're not saved yet. But in the first four generations, salvation in every generation. The first, the second, almost completely the third, and now in the fourth generation, they're being saved. All because these women had burden for the children. For the children. To preach to the children. So the blessing and the fruit, immeasurable to the church. So saints, I hope we can through this burden of the children's gospel meeting, again, lift up our eyes. And we can see more than our own children in our class. You know, it's too easy to get wrapped up with your little group, with your class. And even I would say, I don't know the exact roster, the list, but from what I recall, in every class, we have children who are not regular. Right? Children who are not regular. And I hope we would still pray for them and invite them, be able to invite them. And what I mean, I don't mean call the parents and try to get them back to the meeting. I mean, is there a way that we could just bring the child to the meeting? Maybe the parents don't come that regularly, but we could make an arrangement to pick up the children to come to the meeting. Oh, if there are a way to do this. This would be a real shepherding to that family and could also be a way to recover the family. Brother Lee spoke about this. There are some excerpts in that book, Raising Up the Next Generation for the Church Life. You know that writing? That with the 26 lessons there. And in there you can find some ministry where Brother Lee talks about especially the sisters who do not have young children. That is, that your children are already grown up, or you don't have children anymore in your house, or you just don't have children. It's easier for you because the other sisters with the young children on the Lord's Day, it's enough to pack their two or three or five children there. But the older sisters, he even says, you can hire a taxi and just go house to house to pick up the children of the saints who don't come to the meeting. He said, don't condemn the saints who don't come to the meeting. Don't even invite them. Don't tell, well, you know, you haven't been to the meeting for some time and we're concerned about your children missing out. You know, not like this. But just go, hi, listen, how about I pick up your kids, take them to the children's meeting, take them off your hands for a few hours. Take them off your hands. You can get some rest or do whatever you do on the Lord's Day and we can bring them. Oh, please pray about this. Please pray. Usually we put a little asterisk or something. We say what? Not regular or
once a year.
Even those. They're still on our list.
Amen.
Please pray for them. But beyond those, I hope we could lift up our eyes and look on the fields and see there are so many children surrounding our children. If we could put in them the heart to invite. And even I would say, brothers and sisters, I hope when you're driving and you see a playground, you go by an elementary school, and you see the children playing there, or just in the park, I hope your heart just pray, oh Lord, these children, they're so, many of them so innocent, they're still like blank pieces of paper. Who will reach them? Who will reach them? Now is the time of hope for them. If the vessel doesn't get filled with the proper things, you know what will happen to them, especially in this city. I hope we have a heart to pray for all the children in New York City.
Amen.
For all the children. Through this exercise of the three gospel meetings, I hope we pray for the children in every borough. In every borough. And Long Island. Now, the first one will be Jamaica Estates. Of course, we have saints from all over that actually still come here. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's Queens and Long Island. Right. I hope we pray for all the children in Queens and in Nassau County. And then the meeting in Manhattan, we have children that come from New Jersey and the Bronx. I hope we pray for all the children in Manhattan. Just that it would be a burden on our heart. Then, of course, more specifically, there might be some, around us or families that we know that we want to reach out to. So anyway, maybe that suffices for the matter of the neighborhood meetings and also the children's gospel meeting. Last thing I want to mention is about the Ukraine. Have you all gotten to see the video yet? Maybe not. After that fellowship that we had on January 31st.
Yeah. All the children, right?
Yes. Did you see both videos?
I saw one, yeah.
Our children or their children?
Well, I only saw the one they replied to you.
Yeah. So this is what happened. We had that fellowship on the 17th, and we talked about instilling something in our children. Also, in a sense, to lift up their eyes, right? To look away, to look beyond themselves, not to be self-centered, but to care for others. And so with this burden, as an example, we talked about the Ukraine because there's been so much suffering in that country over the years, the Chernobyl disaster so many years ago, and then even what's happening now with the war with Russia, and it really is affecting not only the people generally in society, but really affecting the church life. Really affecting the church life. And has really, this problem has cut the fellowship between the saints in Russia and Ukraine. The saints can't travel. The saints cannot travel. Usually the first weekend in May, next weekend, we have a conference in Ukraine, in Kyiv, for all the Russian-speaking world. We can't do that. We couldn't do it last year either. So the usually 800 saints from Ukraine are in that conference. 800 saints from Ukraine are in that conference. Last year, it had to be moved to Moscow because we have in the spring in Kyiv, in the fall in Moscow. And also I traveled to Moscow for the college conferences, so I know many of the young people there, been doing this for many years. And in our college conference, we have 100 from Kyiv under normal circumstances. This year, 0. Last year, 3. So it really is affecting the situation. But what happened was the saints in Russia raised money to pay for the saints to come. So 200 from Ukraine went to that Russia conference, a Russian-speaking conference last year. But it's really affecting the church life. Anyway, we felt we'd like to do something to give an awareness to the children concerning the matter of the Ukraine. So the sisters taking the lead with the children's meeting there in Manhattan in our coordination together, we decided we would make this video. It's very simple. It's less than 4 minutes. It takes a long time to put together, but it's less than 4 minutes. And so, are you going to play some of this tomorrow?
I don't think we distributed to.
I just passed it to them. Yeah. I just passed it on to them this week. Yeah.
In Manhattan, the kids haven't seen it themselves.
Right.
They're in it, but they
right. So tomorrow we're going to show them both. So the children from Manhattan, and it was very well done. One of the sisters put it together. But when it opens up, all the children are lined up against the wall in two or three rows, and they say in Russian, Privyet, which is hello. I don't know how long it took them to teach the children to say that. Hello. And so they privyet. And then there's a greeting in words, you know, from the children of the church in New York City and so on. And so then one of the children says, we want to sing some songs to you. And the first one will be whatever it was, and so all the children are there, and so they the camera's showing the children, and then pictures of scenes from the children's meeting, just one after another, after another, after another, and then it's the second song, and I think a little boy says, the second song will be whatever, and then online, it's just four songs, I think, four songs, and then at the very end, it said like a final greeting. I forgot what exactly it was, but the children in the church in New York City greet the children in the churches in the Ukraine. Just very simple. Well, I contacted the brothers in Ukraine. Oh, they're so touched that we would want to do this, and they have every I think it's a couple of times a year. They actually have a children's conference. They bring all their children together actually, for them, children is children through high school age. They call all children. And so they had 150 of them in a meeting the weekend of Easter. That's when we had our conference, big conference here with the young people. That same weekend, they had this activity. And they played our video to them. And so then they decided to reciprocate. So they sent us an 11-minute video. 11-minute video. And so when it opens, all the Ukrainian children saying, hello! Like this. They're all saying, hello! Like that. And then they start to sing. They start, Jesus, is that one? Loves the little children, red and yellow, black and white. Yeah, that's the song they're singing. In Russian. They're singing in Russian. So they're singing in Russian. And then they sing a couple of songs. Then they have, was it four interviews with some of the children? And one of them is in English, right? One is in English. Yeah. But the others are in Russian. So there's words on the bottom to tell you what's being said. But, hi, what's your name? Do you go to the children? Yeah, what do you like of children's meeting? And the answer says, did you like the video? Yes, I liked it very much. I especially, and so they, like this, yeah, four or five of them. Then, again, scenes of their, and then it's the young people. Young people, and they're singing pressing on, and then at the very end they say what is it, oh Lord, in English they all, oh Lord Jesus, hallelujah, something, and something in English to end it. Then the last scene is over 150 children saw your video and loved it very much, something like that. So we have a fellowship now with the churches in the Ukraine. I hope we could show this to them. And we've already spoken to the brothers in Ethiopia. This will be next. We want to establish a kind of a fellowship. Yeah. There are seats here. Oh. Yeah. So I hope we can make this a kind of a common practice. We could tell the children, bring the maps, and show them where these places are, and let them know that we have local churches in these places, brothers and sisters in the churches in these places. Let them know a little bit. Some of the places, they're suffering. You know, there was an earthquake in Nepal this morning, right? Nepal. Yeah. Close to 600 people have perished. We have to find out. We have churches in that region. There was a volcano in Chile. Mm-hmm. Brother Ed, is that close to where the saints are?
No.
Not close.
It's in the far south.
Yeah. But that brings to mind Chile. So we can contact the saints there to let them know. Because although it doesn't affect the saints, it still affects the people of Chile. It still affects many children. And just put the thought, there are other children. Children are affected. But we could make a video for the churches in Chile and have some Spanish there. And then you know, whatever they speak in Ethiopia. And I don't even know. So anyway, I think this would broaden the children very much. And as we've mentioned on January 17th, how about if through this something's put into the children and then they grow up. Some of them, they want to go to the full-time training. You know, about 10% of our young people on average in America, North America, go to the full-time training. And one day they say, you know, I have a burden to serve in Ukraine, or I have a burden for Africa. Then you talk to them, where was that, how? Says, well, you know, when I was in elementary school, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
If a seed could be sown, that would blossom in that way. That's a glory to the Lord. And also an encouragement to all of us that we all are part of this. So this is what it means that the children are the future. But what they will be is determined by what we're doing today. But for what we do today, I hope we lift up our eyes and see, have a view to what we're doing, maintain the vision and the burden. And I think this causes us to have a kind of renewed, I would even say, renewed enthusiasm for what we're doing, right? If not, it's too easy to get caught up with your little class, with just tomorrow, with just this week, with just my service, with snack and craft. And you have to lift up your eyes from the snack and the craft. So anyway, I just mentioned that much. I don't know if you want to add something, or the brothers want to add something.
Ukraine.
Yeah, we just talked about that a little bit.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I guess most of you, of course, that the serving ones, you all know Ukraine in what kind of situation, very, very terrible. They are fighting each other, and many
dangerous.
People got killed, and so it's really terrible. And I also have a very strong feeling for Ukraine, because I visited them twice, that's many years ago, and since they really have the heart for the Lord. And when I was there, only 1 week, and 60 got baptized. They did not have place to baptize, but there was a lake, and that lake to me, it's very, the water was not that clean, but to them, no problem. They swim there, and we baptized them in the lake, and so we got many people saved. So Ukraine really is a place that I believe is a good place to that have good fish pond. Not the physical fish, but you know what I mean. That is a good fish pond for us to preach the gospel and to bring people to the Lord because they're very open. Okay, so then, now lately, and if you read the newspaper, I believe most of you know that Ukraine's in such a terrible situation. They fight and many people got killed and all these things happen. But at this time, seemingly that situation, Ukraine is in a desperate situation. But I really thank the Lord that these brothers and get our young people together and let them sing hymns and all these hymns and we sent to the young people in Ukraine to encourage them. And then when they received this, not only the young people got encouraged, the whole church got encouraged because the leading brother there, his name is also what?
Peter.
Peter. His name is also Peter. And then he told me that it's wonderful that we send this children's singing sent to them. And then they also, their young people also sing hymns and send their singing to us, to us. Out of my surprise, I never expected they had that many young people. And of course, some of them were junior high. But even you put junior high aside, still they have a big number of the young people there. Then, again, I want to repeat this. Not only these young ones, they also sing hymns and send back to us. I believe our young people also get encouraged, right? So it is very healthy for us to have this kind of fellowship and blending among the churches. And so this will help our young people have a broad heart. And so don't all the time pay attention to for yourself. And we have to see the universal body of Christ is the universal church and should be manifest on this earth. And we need to bring our young people into this universal church as early as possible.
This is true. It is one thing to have the doctrine, there's one body in this universe, but it was centered in ourselves. The children won't realize it. But when they have a chance to hear from other places, that is a big help to them. And also an encouragement because they realize, oh, it's not just us. So I also would encourage that we continue this and that we do more because we should have this kind of a view. Mm-hmm. Not only with children's meeting, even in our prayer meeting, it's not just us that are the world. There's a lot of saints that the children don't realize they're around. So, yeah, please continue.
I hope for this month, our efforts will be concentrated on the children's gospel meeting, the preparation for that. But once that's done, I hope here we could produce one of these videos. Whether we can have more fellowship, but I'm thinking now, Ethiopia and Chile. We should approach the saints. Brothers from Chile have been asking for us to go there for some time to have fellowship because they come to Brazil to meet us for the young people's events, the junior high school, college, and all that. And they very much have the burden for the children. We know that. But it would be a great encouragement, especially at this time with this disaster that just occurred. We can contact them and find out a little more. That way when we present this to our children, there's some feeling and some consideration. But I hope for these few weeks, we just concentrate everything on preparing for the children's gospel meeting. Amen. Yeah, and I hope we could fellowship this burden with all the serving saints, that we do this. This would not just be an interruption in our schedule. Actually, this would be something really an integral part of the children's meeting. Amen. To have these, and maybe we need these even more regularly, and to have a view for the gaining of other children. Yeah. Amen. If we have some time to pray, mm-hmm. then you can continue with your lesson plan.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
May we lift up our eyes.
Amen.
And see the prophet.
Amen.
And to open ourselves again to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we want to lift up our eyes.
Amen.
Give us such a broad view.
Right. Amen.
Thank you. You love the little children.
Right.
Amen. Give us your heart.
Amen.
Give us your view.
Amen.
Day by day, week by week.
Amen.
Lord, we want to be one with you.
Amen.
For the future of your recovery.
Amen.
Put the children in our heart in a fresh way.
Right.
And all the children in the neighborhood.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we pray you would strengthen us.
Amen.
You would give us the way.
Right.
Amen. Oh, Lord, we just depend on you.
Amen.
Apart from you, we can do nothing.
Right.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We want to see beyond.
Right.
Amen. Beyond what we're doing.
Amen.
Amen. See the future.
Amen.
Thank you for shaping and forming for the best human vessels.
Amen.
For them to be the gospel seeds.
Amen.
We thank you for what you're doing here.
Amen.
We wanted to cooperate with you.
Amen.
Give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Enlarge our hearts.
Amen.
That we will have such a view.
Amen.
And care for the children around us.
Amen.
Amen.
We want to have your heart for the children.
Amen.
Not just the children among us.
Amen.
All their little friends.
Amen.
The neighbor's children.
Amen.